from the Scriptures, featuring today Edmund Jesup of the Chicago Bible Students, discussing the topic, The Bible in Stone, revealing the message for modern man that is found in the Great Pyramid of Egypt.
Shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border, and it shall be for a sign and witness. Now this unusual quotation is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. Now you'll notice that we've underlined seven key words that command our attention. The word altar, midst, Egypt, pillar, border, sign, and witness. Now let us look at a map of Egypt and see if there's anything that resembles a pillar or an altar in the land of Egypt. Not far from the city of Cairo, right across the Nile River, there we have a remarkable structure. It is called the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Now, is it possible that this pyramid is this altar, this pillar in the land of Egypt? Let's enlarge this portion of our map. Notice, first of all, the natural curvature of the Nile Delta. Now, let's construct three lines, using the pyramid as the center. We draw a line from the center of the pyramid on the northeast diagonal, and we strike a point at the coastline. Likewise, we do that with a line going up north. Again, we strike a point. And then we'll use the northwest diagonal and strike another point. Now, if I would use a compass using the pyramid as the center and draw a arc or part of a circle, notice what happens. All of the prominent points of that coastline fit within the arc. Now this gives us the requirements of the prophecy. The Great Pyramid was to be in the center and yet at the border of the land. It's remarkable. Now the prophet Jeremiah in the 32nd chapter, verse 20, makes this statement. God hath set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt this day. Now we know that the Lord performed many miracles on behalf of Israel, especially when he led them out of the land of Egypt. But we believe that the Great Pyramid is one of these signs, one of these wonders that remain even unto this day. Now, speaking of wonders, I'm sure you're all acquainted with the seven ancient wonders of the world. And whenever this list is compiled, the Great Pyramid always takes preeminence. Of the seven wonders, only the Great Pyramid remains. It is over 4,000 years old, and it is the only one that remains of the seven. The pyramid's orientation is also remarkable. The pyramid's four sides face the four cardinal points of the compass. Now, how did the builders of this immense structure know how to orient this building? And then the location of the pyramid is also astounding. If I would use an equal surface projection map, and placing the pyramid in this position, we find that the pyramid is located in the geographical center of the Earth's land surface. Now, mind you, this was before North America and South America were discovered, the pyramid was already erected. Now, is this merely a coincidence? We think not. The pyramid rests on an area of some 13 acres. If you make a comparison, four of our capital buildings would fit within the area. One side of the pyramid measures 764 feet. The height of the pyramid, 486 feet. That's comparable to a 40-story skyscraper. Or to put it another way, it is 180 feet higher than the dome on our nation's capital. There are stones in this building that weigh anywhere from 2 to 70 tons. And the estimated weight of this entire building is 6 million tons. Now, a building of this magnitude naturally would have a lot of stone. In fact, there are over 2.5 million stone blocks in the building. And there's enough stone in the pyramid to build a sidewalk 3 inches thick, 2 feet wide, that would go clear around the earth. Now the prophet Job in the 38th chapter, verse 6, asks two questions. Whereupon are the foundations fastened? And who laid the cornerstone? Now, as we begin to examine the pyramid, we recognize that there are 4 foundation stones. On each corner, you have 4 foundation stones that are sunk in solid rock. Then you have the chief cornerstone known as the top stone. Now, in the land of Egypt, there are about 30 pyramids or so. These vary in size, but all of these are inferior to the Great Pyramid. Some of these are tombs where mummies lie and so on. But we'd like to make one point clear, and that is that the Great Pyramid is not a tomb. It was built to serve another purpose that we're going to see later. Now, in the engineering circles, there has been much discussion as to how this building could have been constructed. Perhaps the law of physics, the simple law of physics, could have been used. For example, a simple lever machine could have been employed. With a simple weight arm, two men could lift a very heavy stone in the tons in weight simply by putting some counterweights on the opposite side of the lever. Or perhaps even a double weight arm could have been used. Here, the stone is lifted up and also placed in either direction into its position. Now, in this panoramic view, we get an idea of the immensity of this building. Now, supposing these instruments that I've been speaking about were employed in the building of this structure, how would it work? The stone would be rolled in on rollers. The weight arm would lift it. It would be placed on a skid or a sled and then pulled up the incline. A block and tackle idea could have been used. And once it in on the top, then the weight arm would lift the stone on rollers again, and then finally the stones would be placed into their respective positions. As we begin to consider the pyramid figure, we recognize, first of all, the top stone. In itself, it is a perfect pyramid. And you'll notice that the lines are in line with that top stone. It's a model for the entire building. Now, the scriptures refer to this stone in various ways. For example, the prophet Isaiah speaks of it as a precious cornerstone. And then again, the prophet Zechariah says, bring forth the headstone. And then again, Job asks the question, who laid the cornerstone? And then the psalmist David speaks of it, the rejected stone, now the head, the cornerstone. Now, as we begin to put all of these things together, we recognize that God is suggesting to us a plan in which the crowning feature would be Christ. Now let us go over to the pyramid itself and let us examine the internal features of the pyramid and see how beautifully it portrays the plan of God. Now, remarkable as the exterior of the pyramid is, even more remarkable are the internal features. Now, Now the passage system and the chamber system of the pyramid is very unique. Now as you enter into the pyramid proper, you find yourself on a downward passageway. Now this is a very low corridor, and it ends into a room called the pit. Now this pit is hewn from solid rock. Branching off from the downward passageway, you have an upward passageway. But you'll notice that there's a blockage that occurs here. There's a close-fitting granite stone. This prevents anyone from going up this upward passageway. But beyond that stone, here you have a corridor, very low, very steep, very difficult to climb. At the end of this upward passageway, we have a large hallway. This is called the Grand Gallery. Now, this is about, seven times the height of the passageways. Then at the lower end of the Grand Gallery, there is a horizontal corridor that leads to a room. Now, this room is called the Queen's Chamber. And then at the upper end of the Grand Gallery, you go through a little passageway and you find yourself in the chief room of the pyramid, and that is called the King's Chamber. At the lower end of the Grand Gallery, you notice there's a very irregular passageway that ends up into the downward passageway. Now this is called the Well Shaft. Now this completes the passage system of the Great Pyramid. But before we go into the symbolic features of it, would you like to brief you on a little feature in connection with this downward passageway? Now let's use this chart for that purpose. Now Professor Smythe, who is the Astronomer Royal for Scotland, made an interesting observation. He took this descending passageway of the pyramid and projected a line right into the heavens. And he discovered that in the year 2140 B.C., this line was in the direction of the star Draconis. Then he also noticed that at this point, the builders had left some accurate scored lines perpendicular to the passageway. And so he decided to project that line into the heavens, and this was in the direction of the Pleiades in the year 2140 B.C. And so he deducted from that the Great Pyramid must have been completed in the year 2140 B.C. Now let us go over to the pyramid again and see the symbolic significance. And we'll notice how well it supports the outline of God's plan. I remember we mentioned the fact that the pyramid was to be a sign and a witness. Now the downward passageway represents the fact that mankind is going down to a condition of death. For 6,000 years, man has been traveling this journey. It ends up in this fit condition of death. Now as this downward passageway pictures a condition of death, the upward passageway would indicate a way of life. But you notice, as we mentioned before, there's a granite plug that prevents anyone going up this passageway. Now, what does this plug represent? This plug represents God's divine law. Now, on the stream of time, nations came and went. Along comes the nation of Israel. And God gave that nation a law. And this law, if they had obeyed it, would give them life. But the very law that was to give them life actually condemned them, simply because they were not able to keep God's perfect law. And unless a man is perfect, he cannot keep God's perfect law. And so as we begin to examine this structure, there is only one way of escape from this condition of death. And that is this well shaft. Now, what does that represent? This would beautifully represent the ransom sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says so, that he gave himself a ransom for all. Now, there are two forms of life shown in the pyramid, and they're pictured by these two chambers. Perfect human life, represented by the queen's chamber, and spiritual life by the king's chamber. Now, Jesus opened the way to both of these forms of life. How did he do it? Jesus was born on this horizontal plane, or on the plane where the queen's chamber is. He descended into this well shaft, a condition of death. Now, why was that necessary? Well, you see, our God is a God of justice. Very severe. An eye for an eye, a life for a life. Adam had sinned. And as a result, the whole race finds themselves in this pit condition, this death condition. In order for man to live, Jesus would have to come and redeem mankind. And so you see, this well shaft beautifully represents the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And as a result of this ransom sacrifice, now Jesus is able to buy back the human race to life again. Now the pyramid beautifully supports the two salvations that are taught in the scriptures. That is, the earthly salvation and the heavenly salvation. The earthly salvation is shown by the queen's chamber, and the heavenly salvation by the king's chamber. The grand gallery represents a way that Christ's followers take. Jesus gave them life, and they were now able to walk up this grand gallery, go through this passageway, and they too will find themselves in the spiritual condition where Jesus is. Now, as we begin to put all of this together, indeed, the Great Pyramid is a Bible in stone. Why is it a Bible in stone? Because it so beautifully supports and points to God's wonderful plan of the ages. Now let us enlarge this chart and see what God's plan is for man. Now you'll notice on our chart, we have lines. You have vertical lines,